Good. Well, we've got an exciting Bible story to read this morning, boys and girls, in John chapter 5. Grown-ups, if you don't have a Bible, please put up a hand. There's stewards poised to bring you one. Boys and girls, it'll appear on the screen behind me if you can read. If not, just listen really carefully. John chapter 5. There's one down the front here, if possible, for a Bible down the front. Thank you. Don't need to throw one from up there. John chapter 5, which you'll find on page 1068. Okay, boys and girls, you listening? Here we go. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up it and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is God's word to us today. Now, boys and girls, everything you need is going to be up here. So if you sit up straight and look this direction, grown-ups, it would really help if you had John chapter 5, the bit of the Bible we just read, open in front of you. Now, boys and girls, I want to start with a game this morning, if I can get this working. Now, if I put a picture up on the screen, and it's a picture of a person, and I want you to describe that person to me. So here is a mechanic. Now, if someone said, "What is a mechanic?" how would you describe that person? No. Great, someone that fixes things. So I could say, "This is the man who fixes my car." That's what I could say, right? What about this person here or these people? Amy. Yeah, we could say, "This is the man or the people who put out fires." Ooh. What about this one? Yeah. What did you say? What's that? Sorry, I missed that. He's the one who takes teeth out. Well, I hope not. He's the one who's meant to make my teeth better. This is the man who fixes my teeth. Good answer, though. Now, here's one for you, okay, this morning. If I put up the word Jesus, and let me get our little character for today. If I bring out the character Jesus today, and I asked you to describe Jesus, what would you say? Now, there are all sorts of ways this morning that we could describe Jesus. There's loads of things that the Bible says. But here's one I want us to think about today. A Christian, that is a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ, is someone who can describe Jesus as the man who made me well. A Christian is someone who can describe Jesus as the man, we could say, who made me better. Now, are you someone this morning, whether you're old or young, who can describe Jesus like that? If someone asked you tomorrow morning when you go to school, or someone asked you at work, or one of your neighbors asked you, "Who is Jesus?" could you say this? "Jesus is the man who made me well." Now, to some of us this morning, that might seem like a really odd way to describe Jesus. Some of you have come here this morning, and I've seen it already, full of life and full of energy, and you've been running around, and you're strong, and you're fit, and you're thinking, "But I don't need Jesus to make me well." And some of you have turned up this morning, and actually you feel very unwell. And I'm at church and I don't feel well. Or you are very unwell. And you're sitting there thinking, well, Jesus hasn't made me better. But that's not the type of sickness that we're thinking about this morning. Because in our story today, Jesus, at the very end of the story, if you were listening very carefully, he went and found the man that he had made physically better. And he said this to him. He said, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Jesus was describing the worst sickness in the world. And actually, it's a sickness that every single one of us in this room has. Now, I know not all of us wear caps and big boots, but it was the best picture I could find. But it's a sickness that every single one of us in this room has. It is the sickness of sin. It is the sickness of being full of sin and heading for the punishment of God forever and ever. And Jesus says that that is the worst sickness in the world. And our Bible story today that we're going to have a think about together is a bit like going to the doctors. Are you ready to go to the doctors together this morning? We're going to go to the doctors because as we go to the doctors, we're going to learn about this terrible sickness that we have. But we're also going to learn this morning something amazing about Jesus because he is the man who can make us well. We're going to learn to say three things this morning that a Christian can say together. So let's crack on with the story. Because in our story today, Jesus had traveled to a place called Jerusalem. So he probably didn't walk like that, but boxes don't walk very well, okay? So here he is, he's arrived in Jerusalem. And it was the time of a special festival. Now we don't know which one it was. It may have been the Passover festival. But Jesus had come up to Jerusalem. As he arrived, he came to a pool. Now it probably didn't look like this. And some of you have asked me this morning, and no, this isn't the new baptistry from Silver Street, okay? This is meant to be the pool that Jesus arrived at. It was called Bethesda. Now, that's a funny word. We don't use that word, do we? But this word Bethesda means house of mercy. It means, and I put it on the front here, the house of help. Can you say that with me? One, two, three. The house of help. And unsurprisingly, as Jesus turned up to this pool in Jerusalem, this house of help, there were all sorts of people lying around this pool, this hospital, who were looking for help. There were people, like, they were described as the blind and the lame and the paralyzed. All sorts of people who, if we had asked them, said, well, I'm not very well. And they'd come because they'd hoped that this pool, they believed that this pool could make them better. And Jesus had come to this pool on that day, and it was surrounded with people who needed help. But on that day, Jesus had come to find one man in particular. Jesus had come because he knew all about one man, and that is why he had come to this pool. And this is the man over here. Let's go and get him. It was a man, a very sick man, who hadn't been able to walk for 38 years. 38 years. That's even older than I am, just about. Now, to some of you, that isn't very old, but to these guys down the front, that is ancient. I am ancient, aren't I? I've got grey hair and everything. But just imagine, can you imagine that? That you had to lie down like this for 38 years. Can you imagine that? No football. No coming to church and running around in the garden outside or up and down the back. There was no running around. There was no popping to the shops. This man had no job. He couldn't earn money. This man was really sick. He had not walked for 38 years. And boys and girls, if we'd have been able to go to this pool on this day, and we'd have been able to ask this man what was the problem, do you know what he would have said to us? I think he would have said this. Let me put it up on the board. I think he would have said to us, I'm not well. Can you say that with me? I'm not well. And he really wasn't well, was he? What was his problem? Remind me what his problem was. Someone? Grace, what was his problem? He was sick. He couldn't walk. Now, boys and girls, here is the first thing this morning that I want us to understand about the worst sickness in the world. even worse than being sick for 38 years. A Christian is someone who can say, I'm not well. Can you say that with me? 1, 2, 3. I'm not well. A Christian is someone who understands that they are sick with sin. A Christian is someone who understands that they have the worst sickness in the world. Now, sure, my arms may work this morning, and my legs may work, and my body may be well, but a Christian is someone who understands that they have the worst sickness, the sickness of sin. They have the worst thing because of sin, that they're going to face punishment by God forever and ever. Now, I wonder, can you think about, it's not a very nice question, but it is a serious question. What do you think is the worst thing that could happen to you? For some of you this morning, you'll be thinking, well, actually, I think this is about the worst thing that could happen to me. It could be to be ill for 38 years, to not be working for 38 years, to have no money, to have no friends, to have no one around. For some of us, we might think, the worst thing that could happen to me is to be bullied at school. Some of us, it could be the worst thing in the world might be to get cancer. That's the thing that everyone at the moment says, that's the worst thing in the world. But a Christian is someone who understands that the very worst thing in the world that could happen to us is to be sick with sin. That's what Jesus tells the man later in the story. He says, see, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. To face the punishment of God for our sin is the worst thing in the world. And a Christian is someone who understands that. Did you know that when you go to the doctors, they look for the symptoms? So they ask you to stick your tongue out. Can you stick your tongue out and go, That's not very good. Can you do that? Very good. So that's what the doctor does. He looks at your tongue. He tries to tell what's wrong. And every single one of us in this room has all the symptoms of being sick with sin. Did you know that? Every single one of us in this room has treated God like he doesn't really matter. We have treated God like we shouldn't listen to him. We've lied. We've hurt someone. And actually, a Christian is someone who can say, can you say this with me? I'm not well. I'm sick with sin. Just like this man was sick that he couldn't walk. Actually, we are sick with sin. Do you think of yourself like this man this morning? We should do. You may have come to church this morning feeling really fit and healthy and really strong, but we have to listen to Jesus because he says that we are very sick. And we have the worst sickness in the world that leads to the worst place in the world. We need to listen to Jesus. A Christian is someone who can say, one more time, can you say it with me? I'm not well. And so here this morning in our story is a man who's not well. He's a man who couldn't walk. He was a man who couldn't help himself. His legs didn't work. He couldn't just get up and go and solve his own problems. But actually, we discover that on this day, as he was lying by the house of help, hoping that he might get better, on this day, help came and found him. Because Jesus knew all about this man. Jesus had come to find this man. And on that day, Jesus said to him a question. It's in verse 6, adults, if you've got your Bibles. He asked the man, do you want to get well? Can you say that with me? Do you want to get well? Now, does that seem like a funny question to you? What would you say if you were the man lying on the floor down here? Imagine this was you for a moment. What would you say? Someone, what would you say? Jesse, what would you say? Yes! Who would say, well, no, I'm not really keen on getting well today. What do you think he'd say? You'd expect him to say, yes, get me better. I want to be well. I don't want to be lying on this mat anymore. But do you know what he said to Jesus? This is what he said. Let me put it up on the boards. He said to Jesus, I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me. Can you say this with me? 1, 2, 3. I have no one to help me. Okay, just the children. 1, 2, 3.
I have no one to help me.
Including the children on the balcony, please. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
I have no one to help me.
Okay, I think the grown-ups can do that a bit better than that. Ready? 1, 2, 3, grown-ups.
I have no one to help me.
Oh, there was a definite deepness to that, wasn't there? But this is a man who had turned to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, of course I want to get well, but I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred so that I get better. I have no friends around me who can do stuff for me. Jesus, I have no one to help me. That's pretty sad. Not only was he helpless, he was also hopeless. He had no idea how he was going to get better. There was nobody around to help. And no wonder that he says to Jesus, I have no one to help me. And a Christian this morning is someone who can say the same thing. Can you say this with me? A Christian can say, I have no one to help me. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, a Christian is someone who understands that we're not well. A Christian is someone who understands that we have the worst sickness in the whole world that leads to the worst place in the whole world. And a Christian is someone who understands that there is nobody around us who can help us with that problem. Did you know that there is no friend of yours, there is no mum or dad, no treasure hunter's leader who can make you better from your sickness of sin? Did you know that? Not even coming to church every week will make you better on its own from your sickness of sin and from facing God's punishment forever and ever. Like the man, we can say, I have no one to help me. I have no one to make me better. When someone's not very well, what do we tend to do? We either send them a text message and say, oh, I hope you get better soon. Or we send them a card, get well soon. But do you know what? That's the very best thing we can do for them, isn't it? Because we can't make them better when they're physically sick. And it's exactly the same when it comes to the problem of sin. The very best thing that we can say to one another, boys and girls, is get well soon, because we cannot help one another. See, this man, as he laid by the pool, was surrounded by people who couldn't help themselves. He was surrounded by sick people. And boys and girls, I know this is a distraction, but I want you to look around the room for a moment, okay? Just look around. Adults, you can do it too. Okay, now back at me. Now, as offensive as this may sound, but it is truth, this is a room full of sick people. This is a room full of people who have the same problem that I have, which is that we are sick with sin, and we are heading for the worst possible place in the world. And a Christian is someone who understands that. And boys and girls, this morning you may know, and some of you will know this, okay? Because you'll have thought about this, that we are not very well. We will understand, some of us in this room, that we are full of sin. But let me ask you a question this morning. Where are you looking to get better? Who are you looking to? Are some of you thinking, well, actually, I'll be better because my mum and dad are Christians, and that'll be okay? Some of you will be thinking, I'll be better because actually I come to church every week and treasure hunters. Some of us will be looking in all sorts of places, a bit like this man lying by this pool, hoping for some help. We'll be looking all over the place. But a Christian is someone who understands that there's no one around us who can help us to get better from the sickness of sin. Do you understand that this morning? So, a Christian, can you say these two things with me? A Christian can say, I'm not well. And a Christian can say, I have no one to help. And so here is a man who was helpless and he was hopeless. But on this day that Jesus came to Jerusalem, something amazing happened. Jesus came to find him. Jesus knew all about this man. He knew all about the fact that he'd been sick for 38 years. And Jesus said something amazing. Do you know what he said? Can anyone remember in the story? Let's have a look. Oh, no, Nathan nearly remembered. Abigail, do you remember? You don't remember? Amy? Get up, take your mat and walk. Now, as Jesus said that, what happened? Do you know what happened? This is amazing. You've got to think about this. If you'd have been there, you wouldn't have been sitting there like, huh? Like you're sitting there right now. If you'd have seen a man who had not walked for 38 years stand up You wouldn't be like, you'd be like, what? What? So what happened? What happened to this man? So he said, get up, take up your mat and walk. What happened? He got up. He picked up his mat. He's going to wear it on his head. And he walked. And I can imagine, the story doesn't tell us, okay, so I'm kind of adding this bit in, but I can imagine that there was a huge commotion. I can imagine that all these people around this pool, because it tells us there was a big crowd, that there must have been this, whoa, what, 38 years? Sick for 38 years, and he stands up and walks in an instant, in a moment, Jesus says, get up, take your mat and walk, and he's better. Here is a man who hadn't walked for ages and ages, and Jesus made him better, just like that. And as there was a big crowd, the story tells us that Jesus just slipped away quietly into the crowd and disappeared. And this man was probably all these people, wow, look, it's your legs, they're working. And you know, he was probably moving around and he walked off. Now, the story then tells us something funny, because it tells us that the day on which this happened was a Sabbath day. Now, a Sabbath day was a special day for God's people. It was a day when they were meant to worship God. It was a day when they were meant to remember that God made them and that God saved them. Now, incidentally, isn't that the same thing we find Jesus doing on that day? Making them and saving people? And that shows us, doesn't it, that Jesus is the Son of God? That he'd come to do God's work. But on this day, this man had picked up his mat and was walking about. And the leaders came and found Jesus. And the leaders, what do you think they did? Do you think they were like, whoa, he's walking? Do you think that's what the leaders did? They were like, why are you carrying your mat? They were very grumpy. Even though he'd been healed, he'd been sick for 38 years, they were worried that he was carrying his mat. And they said to him, who told you to carry your mat? Who told you to pick it up? And listen to what the man said, because this is a wonderful set of words. He said, the man who made me well told me to pick up my mat. At that point, he didn't know his name, but a little bit later he did. And this is what we could say the man said. Let's put it up on the board, and then we can say it together. It's getting longer and longer, isn't it? It's a good job that's the last one, or else we'll run out of board, okay? So can we say this? Jesus is the man who made me well. Can we say that together? Let me move this out of the way. Ready? One, two, three. Jesus is the man who made me well. Jesus is the man who had made him physically better. Physically, he was able to get up and walk around. But this morning, boys and girls, I want to tell you something absolutely incredible. Because these are the joyful words that a Christian can say. A Christian is someone who knows that real help for the greatest sickness in the world, the worst sickness in the world, is not found in a pool. It's not found by just making sure we get to church every week. It is found in Jesus. Jesus is the one who can make us better. Jesus is the one who can make us well. He came to make us well from our greatest sickness in the world, which is the sickness of our sin. And let me just pick up this character over here, Jesus, and take him over to us. Because we learn something very important in this story about what Jesus does today. In our story, Jesus came and found the man. The man couldn't get up and go and find him. And we learn that Jesus is the one who comes and finds us. Now, how does he do that? Does he physically walk into the room? No, but he comes and finds us as we hear people telling us that we've got a bad sickness. And we hear people telling us about Jesus, that he's the one who can make us better. We discover that Jesus knew all about this man. And although this is a scary thought, Jesus knows all about you. Jesus knows all about all of us, that we have this worst sickness in the world of sin. And Jesus is the one who came to make us better. The Bible tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven and came to earth. And on the earth, he then went to the cross. Now, why did he go to the cross? He went to the cross to make sick sinners better, to save us from the worst thing in the world that could happen to us, which is to be punished by God forever and ever. At the cross, our Lord Jesus took the sickness of my sin and the punishment that I deserve because of my sin upon himself. At the cross, think about this. This is a way to think about the cross. At the cross, you are looking at the very worst thing that could happen to someone in the entire world. Even worse than not being able to walk for 38 years. At the cross, you are looking at Jesus being punished for my sin so that I could be made better. At the cross, Jesus was doing everything needed so that he could come to a sick sinner like me and he could say, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Jesus is the man who makes us better. Now, boys and girls, can I ask you a question this morning? Are you someone who can say that Jesus is the man who made me well? Are you someone who can say these three things? Sure, you can say, can we say them together? One, two, three. I'm not well. I have no one to help me. And Jesus is the man who made me well. A Christian is someone who can say that Jesus has made me better. That doesn't mean I don't sin anymore. But it does mean that I am saved from the worst thing in the world, which is being punished by God forever. Boys and girls, some of you, and grown-ups, some of you will be here this morning and you can't as yet say that Jesus has made me well. Jesus has made me better. And if you can't say that this morning, then boys and girls, I want you to listen very, very carefully to the words that Jesus said to this man. Because he said to him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well this morning? Boys and girls, do you want to get well? Because this morning, this story shows us that Jesus holds out his hands to people like us to make us better, to save us from the worst sickness in the whole wide world, the worst thing that could ever happen to us. And he says to us, do you want to get well? And this morning, even if you've been sick for 38 years, now, boys and girls, that's not going to be some of you, but there might be people in this room who have been sick with sin for 38 years or more. This morning, Jesus says, do you want to get well? And you need to say, yes, please. You need to be someone who says, I'm not well. I have no one to help me. Jesus, please make me better. And if this morning, boys and girls, and there is some of you like this, and I'm very grateful to God, that if you're someone who can say, Jesus has made me well, I have asked him to forgive me, then listen to these words that Jesus went on to say to the man that he'd made better. Because when he found him in the temple later, he said to him, see, you're well again. And this morning, Jesus could say the same thing to some of us. See, you are well again. I have forgiven you. I have taken your punishment at the cross all those years ago. But listen to what he says next. He says, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Jesus says this morning to people that he has made well, live like well people. With his powerful help, we are to live like those that he's made better. We are to stop the symptoms of sin. We are to listen to Jesus and follow him as the one who forgives us. And then we are to be those who describe Jesus to those around us as the one who made me well, the man who made me well. Boys and girls, will you say these three things with me one more time? So a Christian can say three things. Number one. Number two. And number three. Brilliant. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, some of us are in this room this morning and we feel fit and healthy. Some of us are in this room this morning and we feel physically very unwell, or we are physically very unwell. But we thank you this morning that through this Bible story, you have taught us that the worst sickness in the world is to be sick with sin and to face your punishment forever. Father, thank you for your kindness in pointing that out to us. Please forgive us for our sins. We thank you for Jesus, the one who came and who died, taking upon himself all the punishment that my sin deserves, so that I might be made well, so that I might be someone this morning who can praise you as one who has been made better. Father, please help us to love and follow and obey Jesus, to stop sinning with his help as people who've been made better. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.